Good evening, everyone. It is really lovely to be back with you again here in Brookside. Thank you so much for another invitation and for the very warm welcome on what is a really cold evening out there. Thanks for coming along. And we're really looking forward to sharing a little bit more about the work of European Mission Fellowship with you. And more importantly, about the great gospel need and opportunity that exists right within our own continent. Now, what I want to do first of all is pop up a little announcement. So if we could go to the next screen, I'd love just very briefly to mention that we're having our next conference next month. And it's in my home church, which I'm afraid is a Baptist church, but don't tell anyone. It's Ballymoney Baptist Church, but we'll give you a special dispensation for that day. So we won't tell anybody if you come. Saturday morning, the 28th of March, from 10 o'clock until 1. And we're bringing across some special speakers, Rogerio and Sonia Ramos, Stathis and Ruth Ephendidis, and also Pastor Simon Curry will be preaching as well. Very relaxed, very informal day, a great opportunity to learn more about what God is doing in both Portugal and Greece and further afield. You don't need to book. You don't need to pay. You just need to come. And we've got lots of these little postcards on the table. Grab one of those. It will remind you of all of the details. That's on the table on the way out. Now, this evening, it is great to be able to bring with me one of our mission partners right from the front line. As a mission, we are supporting over 90 faithful gospel workers spread across 16 European countries. And maybe you're wondering, maybe you're not quite convinced that Europe really is that much of a mission field. Did you know, according to Operation World, the percentage of evangelical Christians in Europe today stands at just 2.5%? If that is correct, and we believe it is, it means that Europe is the least evangelical continent in our world. Incredible need right on our doorstep. And we're going to hear about the land of Portugal, a land of great gospel need. And Philippe himself is going to do that. He is Portuguese. His connections with the mission go all the way back to his parents. His mum and his dad have actually been EMF missionaries for over 30 years. Philippe himself studied at our School of Biblical Studies back in 2011. A couple of years later, he did some further theological studies at the Portuguese Bible Institute. And he is incredibly industrious and involved in gospel work in his land. Three main ways. Firstly, he is involved in pastoral ministry. He's the assistant pastor in the church his father leads in the town of Alto Domingo, which is in Lisbon. He also has a real passion for church planting. Sadly, in Portugal, there are huge swathes of the country still untouched by the gospel. But we're going to hear about a really exciting initiative in Lisbon. And in addition to all of this, since 2013, he's also been a lecturer in the Portuguese Bible Institute, training the next generation of gospel workers for gospel ministry. So I know you're going to be informed and inspired as he shares about his land and about how God is using him. And what we're looking from you is to play your part, particularly in prayer. I've brought along with me a number of Philippe's leaflets. These will remind you of him and his ministry. Take one of those as you leave. And there is a little sign-up sheet if you'd like to receive his prayer letters. Pop your details on there. Tick the right box. We can post those or email those out to you. Keep informed with how things are going and be prayerful. Be sure to grab your copy of our Vision magazine, which will give you a much bigger, broader understanding of what's happening in Europe as well. Again, you can sign up for that. And perhaps you might even consider supporting Philippe and the work of EMF financially. You can do that by taking a little standing order form. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, please, please help us to keep spreading the good news of the gospel all across Europe. Now, my great privilege to hand over to you, Philippe. Come and share with us.
The microphone keeps going down. Sorry about that. But it's a privilege to be here with all of you. And I would like to start with what we all know, a great book, God's Word. And it is everywhere. Thanks to many people that translated, thanks to many preachers, thanks to many people that gave their lives so that the Bible can be all over the world. But today I want to think of a very specific characteristic of the Bible. Because being God's Word, the Bible, it's a book, but it's also a portable library containing many and different books. So we see a great diversity. We see a great diversity, many different authors throughout the ages with all sorts of different backgrounds. However, we know God is the one author behind it. So with great diversity, we also have great unity. So Scripture reveals from Genesis to Revelation God's plan from that comes to this day to reach out mankind. So God's plan is seen in all over. Today we'll think about the Bible's diversity, and my role is to actually link it and make a question. How is it related to mission, this diversity? So let me try and start by saying that people, some people like details, other people like the big picture. Some people like content, others like the way we communicate content. But we need both. So it's exactly the same with Scripture. We have content, Bible content, but we also have the way or the form that content was revealed to us. So as Christians, we believe in a number of doctrines. So this is content, Christian content, based on the Bible. But we also know that there are many formats or ways that we communicate those doctrines. And today we already seen some of those. We have faith confessions. We do have creeds. We have songs and hymns. We have sermons and prayers and even books that we call systematic theology. All of those are different ways and formats of us communicating Bible doctrines. And it's the same with the Bible. For example, if we start with the Old Testament, we'll see that the Bible has a lot of different literary genre. That's how people usually say. Of course, the most obvious will be narratives, the way that the Bible communicates big events and plots and conflict and how God intervened in each of the different settings. We have poetry, psalms and prayers and music. We have proverbs, daily wisdom, very practical, catchy phrases to memorize and remember. We do have laws and commandments, straight to the point. We do have prophecy and apocalyptic as well, which is God bringing out time, past, present, and future. So there are loads. And we have to say that this diversity of formats are a gift for us. And we learn a lot on the way that the Bible was written. As you see, it reminds me of one verse in particular. Paul wrote it in Ephesians, and he says, the manifold wisdom of God. Which means we know God has revealed content, but he has revealed it in many and different ways for our benefit. It's then a great appeal for us to consider how the Word of God is so rich and abundant and relevant and useful. So we are encouraged to celebrate unity with diversity. And it's not very easy to bring those concepts together. But I would like to suggest that this is a model that we find as well in God Himself. Because we see and we know that God, the Godhead, is one. But we also know there are three persons. So the Trinity is in itself a model of unity in diversity. And we also see this model not only in Scripture, in God Himself, but we also see this as well in the church. One body, many members. Very different. And sometimes we like to conflict. But unity, diversity. And we also see this in mission, the same. We know it's one mission. It's one command that Jesus gave us. So it's the same. One mission, but many nations, many languages, many cultures, many strange ways of living. But that's it. So there is this model that can apply, and it's a big challenge for all of us. When we come to the New Testament, we also see there are two new and very strong literary genres that has to do with mission. Because the New Testament starts with Gospels, which are very specific to narrate the life and the ministry of Jesus. And the Gospels end with the same emphasis. Jesus' command. Go and make disciples in all nations. Preach the gospel. So we know this. And after that, the New Testament has many and many, many letters. Something not seen in the Old Testament. But something very peculiar that shows us that in the New Testament there is an explosion of communication between leadership, between churches, to show us that mission was taken very serious. The church of Christ, the body of Christ, was on the move. And with the power of the Holy Spirit and also fulfilling God's plan of salvation. And so there was communication throughout all these different growing churches spread all over. Mission was a real thing. Mission was taking shape. And it was being fulfilled. If you see the letters, they are people, real people. The Romans, the Thessalonians, the Ephesians. So you see one mission, many and different people. Unity, diversity. So as we see, this is the witness of Scripture. We have to be reminded that this is not God's plan only for the New Testament. It all started and it has deep roots because mission was not forgotten. If we go back to the origins of the faith with the covenant with Abraham, we see it was not forgotten. It was there. He knew all the families of the earth will be blessed. So the plan was there. So we have to conclude, mission is on. And we are part of that. It comes from God to us. It is God's power through us. And we must go on. The problem is, as evangelicals and Protestants, we have helped a lot this world with doctrine. Bible translation is a legacy, especially after the Reformation. But we have been struggling all these centuries with those two words I was just saying, unity and diversity. And usually we mix up unity with uniformity, which is not. And we also tend to think that diversity is heresy, and is not. So we come to grasp with those big challenges in mission. How can we be one? And how can we be diverse? So this is what we would like to consider and say that the way of God is for us to work together as the gospel is spread, as the body of Christ. Whatever we are, we already heard it. If we are in Britain, in Portugal, in Brazil, in Africa. So we say we are a fellowship of churches, many different churches, a fellowship of many individuals. But coming together, networking, and sharing together what we have in common, and that is the most precious thing, which is the gospel. And specific, our task is Europe, because it's, as we heard, at our doorstep. So this is not a task only of EMF. It's not a task only of this church or the 10 mission agencies you're supporting today. So I will quote one dear brother. He said, evangelization requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. This was our dear brother John Stott. Just a reminder that the task is gigantic. We need unity. And we need all the diversity we have in gifts, in ways, in shapes and forms to complete such a task. We will sing later on, unfinished task. And so I believe this is a great appeal from the nature of Scripture, the nature of God, the nature of the church, and the nature of mission itself. Unity in diversity. As for me, I'm in Portugal. So that is my doorstep. And I'm serving the Lord. And we can start by where I live. So you'll see this is my family, my background. So you will see my brother, just one. Yeah, thank you. My brother and my niece, my parents, my brother's wife, our dear friend Chris, and myself. So a lovely family, Christian. And we live in the city of Lisbon. So there you go, the capital. And Portugal as a country is mainly a Roman Catholic country, which is not the case of Northern Ireland, but is the close reality in Southern Ireland. So you might have already some ideas of this, what this means. It means that evangelicals are a minority. We are less than 1%. And this statistics is to do with the Portuguese, because we have more percentage, but is related with Brazilians that come or other cultures. But the Portuguese remain very pretty much Catholic background. And in this image you see there's a lot of crowds gathering. There are people that go long distances on their knees because it has to do with vows and promises and penitence. And so there is a need for the gospel of grace and the merits of Jesus Christ alone by faith. So this is our great, great challenge. My parents, Jose and Elisa, they were mentioned, have been a great model for myself and for others in Portugal, serving in Portugal over 35 years. And they have been an example of hardworking perseverance, joy, and love in spite of all the hardships. And they have worked in the church in Alto do Moinho for 34 years now, a congregation of over 50 members, mostly Portuguese. And 6 years ago, they started a church plant in the area of Azoia, which is a village nearby, once again very Roman Catholic background. For myself, I started a great walk in EMF 2011. At that time, Daniel Weber, the principal, and it was a great experience, which I completed in Portugal itself. I had further training and I finished my studies in 2016, specializing specific on the Old Testament and Hebrew. So if I would say what is my main ministry focus, Phil already mentioned, so I'll put it just there. Three main areas: biblical education is equipping more people for the harvest. Second is pastoral commitment, nurturing the church with faith, and also the church planting, which is multiplying, reaching out, not only in Portugal, abroad. So if we start with biblical education, a summary, I'm a lecturer in the biblical school on the Old Testament in Hebrew, as I mentioned. I'm a supervisor of an online course. It's a big opportunity to go where we couldn't before. Third, our faculty comes together every fortnight to study scripture, and we deliver this in biblical conferences. So there is this team. And lastly, Bible translation. So they work as a group so that we can equip the Portuguese better. I'll show you some pictures. So the first one is the Bible Institute near Lisbon. It has been on for 45 years, just after Portugal broke off a very severe dictatorship. So our democracy is very recent. It has 40 so years. And the Bible Institute has been there equipping people. For the past 3 years, then you will see our group of teachers studying scripture. Every year we choose one particular book of the Bible where we study every fortnight. And this then is delivered in a national conference. And you'll see the logo. The project is called The Bible Amongst Us. And it's a great effort to put the biblical foundations in Christian faith. And as you see, the logo expresses three main truths. The Bible at the center, the same color, which expresses unity, and different colors at the top, which expresses diversity. And the idea is to nourish. At the conference itself, we have small groups and discussions going on as well alongside the sermon. So people are drawn to scripture and to discuss it, the need for Portugal. We also have this online course, which goes and is streamed from people's home. So now we can reach where we couldn't before. And so we are broadcasting to places, Portugal, of course, and Brazil and Angola, Germany, Italy and Switzerland at the moment in the Portuguese language. The course was written and the name goes by Applied Biblical Interpretation and Theology. And this particularly online course is for every Christian. It's a 4 years course to equip people not only for ministry, but Christians in their workplace, whatever God has called them. So it is based in the 16 chapters of Romans. And so the student will go for biblical part, hermeneutics, theology, but always there's an application time. So 16 chapters, 16 subjects for practical Christian ministry and projects. So first year, it's all about the individual development. We must grow as Christ. Love God with your mind, your soul, with your heart and your strength. Second year, we must learn to work together as a team. Third year, we must go to the world. We are sent to the world. And fourth, how can we live in this earth in light of eternity. Because everything we do for God has to have an eternal impact. Everything we do is not in vain. So this is the whole project to build up God's church in Portugal as well. So what we want now, the next step, we want to go online, 100% online, for the benefit of the Portuguese-speaking countries in Africa. Little resources, we can help. So if you know any person with skills on software, computers or whatever, that would like that we could consult and have insight, please come and speak with us. So then we have, of course, pastoral commitment, which comes preaching and Sunday school, children's weekly program, and summer camps. Those are the main ones. And I'll show you a picture of our summer camps. We have 3 weeks, always thinking of developing leadership, so then they can help with the children ministry and also youth ministry. But we started children's weekly activities on Saturday. Every Saturday, we are trying to put the first stones for what we would like it to be, a future school. So we have this great question, could we become a Christian school? It's a dream we have. We have been doing this for 2 years. We are already having teachers interested in helping us. The idea is to have the Christian values and teach children the basics. So we are going this every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There we are with lots of games, languages, crafts, sports, and so on, but with the Christian values. So we appreciate much prayer as well. And lastly, church planting. We have to multiply. So 3 projects. As I mentioned, Alto do Moinho Church, a church with 30 years, started another project, Azoia, which is on her 6th year. We also started in Lisbon, myself, with another team. We are working in a church plant in Loures, which is just the 1st year, a little baby. And lastly, we must connect people, thinking in mission. We have to be connected, not only good fellowship, but fellowship for mission. So we developed a different project as well. So I'll show you the team of leaders. We started dreaming for the gospel proclamation. We started speaking with all these different churches. And so we have a team now, a core team of 4 people that are representing different churches to start this work. So the core team is four people. Fabiano is also one of EMF's missionary. We have Matt Watson, myself, and Claudia. Each one has a department specific, and each one is developing their own. The idea is, in this 1st year, is to accomplish 3 goals. First, we must develop the discipleship groups in Greater Lisbon. Second, we have to be present in social life and business for financial sake. So we're working with the local authorities and we are showing the Christian ethics as well. And lastly, connecting with all these churches so that we will develop a passion for mission. Not only Portugal. We always have to think worldwide. To facilitate this, we started the project GO, which in Portuguese, vai, means go. So we are bringing all these people together for trips and journeys, not only Christians, non-believers, because we understand that in our society, materialistic society, first you need to build trust, and then you can speak of the gospel. So this has been the ways of also get to reach other people. So integration is really the key. We come back to those 3 words. We come back to fellowship. We must work together, not individual, not just one church, not just one team. It has to be holistic. If we want to share Christ in all this complex life and world. Second, it is because we have a passion for mission. We know we are here with a purpose. And that purpose, first of all, is to accomplish God's mission. And third, we have to start somewhere. So let's start in the obvious place, which is our continent. So I will summarize prayer points. First of all, we could pray for these biblical conferences and the online students. We can help people. Second, we can develop and start from origins, working with children, giving them a better chance, and maybe creating this possible future school. And thirdly, develop all these new church plant efforts and putting evangelism as the first priority to reach out to people. So those are our concerns. Those are what we can share with you. And we appreciate all your help and your efforts. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I appreciate it.